Thank you, Mrs. Garris. What a blessing. What a powerful message in that song today for us. And we need to remember to share that good news of the gospel. Is this mine, preacher? Okay. And I appreciate that water there. And did you ever meet Lottie Moon? You never met her, did you? Never did meet her, did you? That's been a while. Well, I'm glad to be one of those young missionaries that she was talking about a while ago. I appreciate that. Glenn, to find out what she wants for Christmas after we get back at the display or at the meal. And I want to say thank you to the pastor for inviting me to come. I want to say thank you for his hospitality. And I mean, he's just bent over backwards to do whatever he can to make our stay comfortable. He took us to our room, showed us around, gave us the key to it. I still got the key, too, by the way. Don't let me forget to give it to you before we leave. I'll be in big trouble. Have to mail that thing back to you. But he gave us so many liquids and fluids over there in our room. We've got all kinds of drinks. If I drank all those liquids and fluids he gave me, I'd have to excuse myself about every 3 minutes, go back there to the men's restroom. But anyhow, I appreciate y'all being here today. We're grateful for the men's prayer meeting that we had last night and the fun time that we enjoyed there. It was wonderful. And I got to meet a lot of the men, you know, the young men in the church. Got to watch the men as they did a little competition and playing a board game. And I never heard of the game before, but it was just fun to watch them play. Keith, you were the winner, I believe. There's the winner right there. And so if you need to know about how to play tickets for, trains or something, I don't know, going to Europe, whatever it was, you just talk with that guy right there. He knows all about how to win. In our society today, they talk about everybody's a winner. Well, you got to have winners, you got to have a loser, you know. But thank God we're on the winning team, on the team of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the good news of salvation to share with this lost and dying world that needs Him. And this church has just been so fabulous and fantastic to support us through the many years, praying for us, supporting us over 30 years. And we're grateful to be able to represent you for the cause of Christ. And you say, well, has it paid off? Financially, has it paid off? Spiritually, has it paid off? All of the above. Let me just bring you up to date. Now, preacher, I just got the pulpit about, 19 minutes till 12. Am I supposed to finish at noon? No. Oh, okay. Well, I'll try to be conscientious because I know these people are hungry. And whenever I see the daggers staring back at me and all, I know it's time to quit. When they start falling out on the pews, it's time to wrap it up. But anyhow, I just appreciate the opportunity to share with you the good report about what God is doing around the world through the ministry that He has enabled us to be a part of and to start. And it's all part of the glory. Of course, the glory all belongs to the Lord, but it's all a part of your investment that you've made in the missions and ministries the Lord has allowed us to have. There in the Philippines, for example, the church has been nationalized that we started over there. We started by going door knocking, door-to-door in the communities. We went out to the marketplace and just met people and started seeing the Lord save people, and we started meeting in our home 3 services a week. And now that church has their own property, and somebody helped them buy the property. Then this past year, the people, they gave them a loan to buy the property, and then they said, okay, look, the loan, the indebtedness that you owe us has just been canceled. They gave it to them. They owed, 7 more years to pay for the property. And the people out in California said, the property's yours. And to God be the glory, great things He's doing. They have a 2-story termite-infested building over there. And this very month, they are planning to tear down that old building and build a new building. And I've got some money set aside for them. It's not near enough. They need $105,000. But I have $25,000 set aside in a bank account at our mission at BIMI, and the mission is getting ready to release that to the people in the Philippines so that they can start this building. They want to build a 2-story building out of concrete that will withstand a lot of the typhoons and the earthquakes that they have over there, and then they want to build a 2-story parsonage in the back of the church to connect to the church building. And the pastor is Edgar Pojas. And he's a national that we trained, and to God be the glory, they have started 4 churches. They just ordained their 5th young man to start their 5th church ministry over there. Now that is fruit to your account, investments that you made in the service of the Lord there in the Philippines. And one of the young men that was saved in our ministry just left to go to Argentina, South America, last year. He was a pastor for 9 years, and God burdened his heart to become a missionary. And so Brother Raymond Zaca is in Argentina now with his family, learning the Spanish language, and he's planning to start churches in Argentina. How exciting is that? That's in your investment that you've made through the years. I remember whenever we met them for the first time, he has a brother that's also a pastor in the Philippines. And when I met the family, they were only teenagers. The dad said, no, I'm not going to let them come to church. He wasn't going to let them, man. He was just obstinate about it and just would not let them come. And he said, I believe that you're a government agent for the U.S. government. He thought I was a CIA agent. I said, well, I want to be a CIA agent for the Lord. If you mean Christian in action, that's my desire, to be a Christian in action. And finally, he allowed the boys to come to get to church, and they got saved, and the dad got saved, and he's in a good fundamental Baptist church there in the Philippines, and it's exciting to see how God works in people's hearts and lives like that. Okay, that's the Philippines. And so there's others that have been trained through the years. We've counted them up from the young men that we trained there and the young men that they've trained. And like Paul told Timothy, train faithful young men, train faithful men. I think there's between 20 and 25 churches that have been established and started throughout the Philippine Islands just because you invested in the Philippines and you've invested in the ministry of the Bono family. And so God gets all the glory, but you share. And we just, not share in the glory, but share in the investment that was made there in the Philippines. Now, also, we were in Hawaii. We started the church there. We've got, I know. I see you smiling back there, but somebody had to go. And we were glad to be in Hawaii. And there's still people faithfully serving the Lord through the ministry that was established there. We've got some people that went. You know, people normally go to Hawaii for two reasons. They go there to play or to work. And that's it. That's basically it. And 65% of our neighbors that we met door knocking out there through Hawaii Kai were Buddhist. And if you know anything about Buddhists, they don't believe there's a God. There's no God. There's no need for salvation because there's no sin. So you don't need a Savior. You just become one with earth and wind and fire and rain, and that's the way they think. So you got to work through all of that and go back to Genesis 1:1 in the beginning God. But thank God some of those people that came to Hawaii for the benefit of working and playing and so forth, or serving the Lord. Some of them have been saved, and they're back on the mainland here in California serving the Lord. It's just exciting to see how God works. Now, as far as the investment that you're making in the claim ministry, that's also exciting. I've got a report here somewhere, and there it is right there. This is my report that I gave to the World Conference on Evangelism at BIMI last week, and this is from last year. We had 19 claim trips, and we had 9 medical mission outreach ministries last year. And to God be the glory, there were, let me get the number right. It was 4,563 professions of faith. And that's exciting. You share in that investment. And I hope that you understand how very important it is to give financially, but certainly we need God's people praying. Because without His power and without His guidance, it's not going to be done to His glory. It's not going to be to any avail. And so we appreciate so much the investment that you make. Pray for myself as I leave, Lord willing, on the 14th of this month. You were talking about Romania. We have a missionary that we support in our sending church, which is Calvary Baptist Church in Red Bank, Tennessee. Our pastor is Dwight Martin, and he's doing a good job there. His daddy has been a counselor, Christian counselor, for like 50 years. Dr. Paul Martin, some of y'all may know that name, but Brother Martin asked me to head up a team to build a building for a church plant there in Romania for a missionary that we support there through Titus International Missions, and his name is Zemer. And so I've got a team going with me. 7 of us are headed out the 14th of this month, and we'll be headed over there to Romania to do a lot of work. I mean, we're going to work. We're going to mix mud by hand. We're going to put it in buckets, and we're going to build that wall and build that building. Lord willing, we've got a gentleman friend of mine from Texas, Brother Jay Miller. He does block work and rock and brick, and he does it all, and he's agreed to be the laborer, the main man. I said, man, I'm putting pressure on you. You got to go. You got to help us out. We got a lot of gophers, but we need a guy that knows what he's doing, and he does. And so you pray that we'll have health and strength and get the job done and do it all for the glory of the Lord. Now, I've got some other projects coming up this summer, as I mentioned, the Philippines. Also in June, Lord willing, I've got a team that's been put together to go upriver from Unalakleet, Alaska, where I've been 9 times. And we've got a guy there that the mayor's husband, he wants us to go upriver and build a cabin up there for him to help him out. We're going to do that labor love project. The missionary just talked to me 2 days ago. And he said there's another man upriver that needs some help. And so we've got two villages, not just Unalakleet, but we've got two other villages, Stebbins and St. Michael's, on the separate island south of Unalakleet. And we'll be going there for the first time. And I need some carpenters and electricians and plumbers. I need some people to help us on those projects. I've got a project coming up next year up in Vancouver, Canada. And we'll be building a church there for a church plant. And we're going to need some help there. I've got a project out in California at Long Beach at Pacific Baptist Church. That's Pastor Esposito. Do you know the name Joe Esposito? Anybody know that name? Brother Esposito has been in a coma for over 3 years. He's still in the coma. And I trust that you'll be praying for that ministry out there. You can find him on the internet, Pacific Baptist Church. You can get an update on the ministry. His assistant, Brother Meyer, is moving forward, carrying on with the ministry. His wife and children are so faithful to pray for their daddy, to go and pray with him, and to sing songs about the Lord, and to share Bible verses with him. And so I just ask that you pray the Lord will bring him out of that coma. We don't know why God does what he does and why he does the way he does it, but he does all things well, whether we agree with that or not. And we'll talk about that here a little bit more. But I've got that project. I've got a project down in Antigua, West Indies. And I need some help down there. We need to put a roof on the building down there. The pastor is really a neat guy. Pastor, can I just step down from here? It's okay. I like to see the whites of their eyes. I notice they're good Baptists. They like to say the front rows for the visitors. And so I want to get out here where I can see you. But the pastor down there at Maranatha Baptist Church, by the way, it's the church where one of your missionary families go to, the Bakers. Okay? I've been down there 2 or 3 times, and that's where they go to church. The pastor was a Rastafarian. You know anything about the Rastafarians? If you've ever mopped the floor with a big old mop, you just braid that mop and put it on your head, and that's what the Rastafarians look like. I mean, he had that long, matty hair, and it was all moppy, and God saved him. He was up in the mountains and studying the Bible. He was actually reading the Old Testament. And who was it? A guy in Africa. They said he was their black Messiah. And so anyhow, he would smoke dope. And when he smoked the dope, he said the Spirit came in him and helped him understand the Scriptures. Well, the Spirit came in him, but I won't tell you right now which one it was. But it wasn't the Holy Spirit. And anyhow, this man got saved. And one of the men that was also a Rasta up there in the mountains got saved. And now the preacher is doing a tremendous job there in Antigua, West Indies. The other man that got saved is his deacon. And they got shorter hair than I do right now. I mean, it's just amazing how God has changed them from within, in their heart, and just made them new creatures in Christ Jesus. It's exciting because he changed their heart. And so I need some workers on that building. I need you to pray that God will send me some laborers, and I'd like to see them come out of Calvary Baptist Church and go down there and help us on that project. I've got a project in Honduras. I need some help down in Honduras. The missionary there is Brother Evan Williams. He's from Ireland, and he was Episcopalian, it was an amazing testimony. I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but it's just amazing how God saved him, and he read in an Episcopal newspaper that the Episcopal Church had some kind of a mechanic need for Honduras, Central America, so he went down to Honduras to be an auto mechanic down there, and he met this young lady, Carmen. And he got to taking a liking to her, and he said, "Carmen, will you date me?" And she said, "Not unless you come to my Baptist church." So he started going to that Baptist church. He said he had some reasons for that, but anyhow, he started going, and long story short, he and Carmen have been married for many years. They started churches in Spain, I believe it was, and now they've started 5 churches down in Honduras. And they're starting a Christian school in their village of Santa Lucia up in the mountains. And I need a welder down there. I need somebody that knows what they're doing. You know anybody like that, Brother Cook? You probably do. Okay, good. And so, y'all pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Will you do it? Now, I know your pastor is dignified, and if I'm shouting and hurting your ears, I'm sorry, but that's just me. You'll have to forgive me, and it's okay. Okay, so anyhow, those are some projects that I have need up. I've got project needs down in Costa Rica, Central America. I've got a project over in France. It's close to Spain. And I've got one of my newest team leaders that's going to take that project and run with it. But he needs workers. And I need the workers in